You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
This is my responsibility to keep Terminus running.
Now, what about Terminus?
We need your help. You know about Terminus.
This is Terminus, where all the Lazars come to die. We're on a leper ship. We're all going to die.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, hang on. This is not a leper colony. It's a podcast. Let's try this again. Welcome to the newest episode of the Terminus Podcast, coming to you from the old city of Terminus itself, Atlanta, Georgia. My name is Nicole Mazza, and I'll be your host for this podcast. Enjoy the ride! And like a car with a dodgy engine, I just keep starting and stopping this podcast. Anyway, hello everyone. I just have to say that I am really trying to get back on the horse and would like life to stop throwing things at me. Thank you very much. And so this is, I don't know, kind of a practice episode. Yeah, just basically something to try to get back into the swing of things for the very quickly approaching Series 11, which I totally hope to review, of course. I mean, I'm honestly a little bit nervous, as I can be a bit neurotic about content on this podcast from time to time. Like, say, for example, with episodes of Series 10 that I still need to review. I mean, part of me just wants to skip the Monk episodes, for example, as they mostly weren't my bag, to be honest. And part of me even just wants to do sort of an overview of all the rest of the stories from Series 10 in one single episode. Still, even with all that, as much as I loved Series 10, and don't get me wrong, on the whole, I really adored it. Anyway, even with all that, I'm kind of just ready to just move on. Especially with all the excitement about Jodi and Series 11 just totally consuming me these days. So yeah, maybe I'll just earmark those reviews for after Series 11 airs or something. Plus, and this is just kind of the personal bit, I'll get into the proper show topic in a second. But anyway, I've just been trying to do a bit of recentering with the podcast. Or really, just recentering myself in relation to the podcast, basically trying to get back into the why of doing it. It's mostly just because I realized for a while I was starting to focus more on making content just for other people, to please them, and kind of less for myself. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I really want people to like my podcast and enjoy what I have to say. But when you get more focused on pleasing others than being true to your own voice, yeah, things get a bit, I don't know, icky and, I don't know, somewhat paralyzing, at least for me. And so yeah, honestly, I think that's what's been stopping me a bit when it comes to recording lately. Plus, to be honest, as an introvert, an INFP to be precise if you're familiar with Myers-Briggs, anyway, as an INFP especially, one of my weird struggles is sort of a situation of making episodes more in my head than in actual reality, where I kind of struggle to actually externalize my thoughts into the outside world. I mean, seriously, I'm not gonna lie, there are so many episodes that exist just in my head, just waiting to get out. And God, how I wish I could just upload them to the world somehow by just downloading them directly from my brain or something. Life would be so much easier if I could do that. And also, related to that, I guess in some ways I'm still not super used to talking out loud about my feels so much. At least about something I'm so passionate about. And at least when it comes to talking to strangers, which, to be fair, is most of you listening. So in that way, podcasting is both good and bad for me on that front. Well, not really bad, just that it's a bit of a challenge and a wee bit scary. I don't know, I'm kind of rambling now, but regardless, as an attempt to get back on track, I decided to do something fairly simple, i.e. something that doesn't involve me rewatching episodes and taking lots and lots and lots of notes, which I want to do, by the way, as my podcast prep is generally rather over the top because of who I am as a person. Overachiever. Anyway, so since I already have a bunch of notes left over from going to Hulanta back in May, ages ago, I thought I'd pull out some sort of practice episode chatting about my experiences at the convention, all just to get back into the hang of being on the mic again, and to share my adventure with you. Plus, I honestly would love to remember it all while I still can, sort of like an audio scrapbook of sorts, I guess. Now, admittedly, some of the original notes were lost as the file got somewhat corrupted some time back. I might have just left it open for months on end. Oops. But they're still mostly intact, and not enough of a loss that I can't really piece together much of the missing bits, at least from what I recall from my memory. So yeah, all that to say, today's episode is basically just me chatting about the Atlanta Doctor Who convention, Hulanta. Well, as well as a mini happy fandom time thing, because I can't skip that, especially with all the awesome things going on in the world of Doctor Who right now.
It's happy fandom time.
State your name, rank, and intention.
The Doctor. Doctor. Fun.
Alright, first things first. Since I last chatted with you guys, I've been doing a few more guest spots on other podcasts, which is still super scary for me, as I'm super, super shy. But it's also mostly lots of fun and helps me challenge my comfort zone a bit. Which, by the way, as an aside, reminds me that if any of you would like me to guest on your show, just drop me a message. Sometimes I'm super busy, I will admit, so it's hard to make it work schedule-wise, but I always do try my best to be available. Anyway, I know that I've mentioned the Discussing Who podcast on here before, who will come up later in the Hulanta segment as well. Anyway, I've mentioned them before as I've been making a few appearances on their show here and there, mostly as they've been rewatching and reviewing the new series while waiting for Series 11 to air. Well, since my last Terminus episode, I was a guest on another episode of theirs, this time about one of my favorite stories, and really the only story I enjoy watching from Series 2, to be honest. Anyway, Girl in the Fireplace. So yeah, if you want to hear me talk about my feelings on that episode, definitely check them out. I'll definitely be sure to put a link to it in my show notes. Also, speaking of podcasts, I also did a small bit for the Doctor Who improv podcast, Doctor Who's Line Is It, Anyway? I wasn't properly on an episode itself as a guest, but I did one of their bumper tag blurb thingies that they put at the beginning of each of their episodes. I did one intro blurb that followed a script, well, I think two takes on the same one, and then an improv one that was basically related to that script. The latter one may or may not ever be used, but that's totally cool. They're both pretty goofy and quite a bit embarrassing, but it was still pretty fun to make them. And I'm in the company of a lot of other cool podcasters and Doctor Who actors who have also recorded their own blurbity blurbs, so that's also pretty darn awesome. I think my intro blurb shows up at the beginning of episode number 76, which is episode 4 of The Vegetation, related to the Fifth Doctor serial, The Visitation with the Pteroleptals. Though you should at least listen to episodes 1 through 3 first, of course, so you're not completely lost. By the way, I have to confess, I kind of have a weird love for the Pteroleptals. I even once wrote a fanfic where they return to face an interesting pairing of the Ninth Doctor and Martha. So yeah, just all that to say that it makes me particularly glad to be orally tied to that story in some way on their podcast. But anyway, yeah, definitely check out their podcast. It's a whole lot of fun and especially great for fans of improv or especially fans of the show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Oh, and of course, many thanks to my listener Pinky, one of the lovely panelists on the show, for turning me on to the podcast in the first place and lighting a fire under me to get my sound clips recorded for them. Anyway, let's see. Oh yeah, One other really small thing that made me squee the other day was that while I was watching a video of David Tennant's recent appearance at Wizard World in Austin, I was happily surprised that he totally referenced the Garm at one point. I mean, yes, it was a minor passing reference to someone asking him a question while wearing a costume that reminded him of it, but of course I squeed. I mean, I'm always easy for when David shows his Doctor Who geek cred. I mean, he totally seems like he'd be so much fun to chat with about the classic series.
And what's the Garm? You'll find out soon enough.
Anyway, for those who were wondering why on earth I was so excited for a Garm reference specifically, it's because the Garm is in the classic serial Terminus, of course. This podcast's namesake. Well, kind of, sort of. But anyway, yeah, just a super happy little dorky thing for me because of the mega nerd that I am. Yeah, it's no wonder I rarely get dates. Anyway, other than that, I'd be remiss if I didn't also share two very happy little pieces of feedback that I've received. But first, I have an embarrassing confession related to them. So, one review is from iTunes from back in November 2016. So yeah, almost 2 years ago. And the other review is on Tumblr, and I honestly have no idea when it's from, as the messages on there don't seem to have dates attached. But with the latter one, it's specifically for an episode I made in September of 2016, so it could very well be 2 years old as well. Yep.
Oh dear, we are in trouble, aren't we?
Anyway, I did write the person back on Tumblr for whatever it's worth. Hello, username Prof Doctor, if you're listening. Anyway, they didn't remember how old the message was either, but they seemed to be cool with me getting back to them in a very, very late way, so yay! Oh, and with the first review, in my defense, it was on the UK iTunes. And if you're a creator of stuff that goes on iTunes, you probably know, or maybe you don't, that your reviews from all over the world are not aggregated in one place. At least as far as I can tell. Please tell me if I'm wrong. Anyway, yeah, you have to switch the country setting on your iTunes player in order to see reviews from each respective country. So, in other words, when it's outside of your home country, unless you seek it out by switching the country settings every now and again, you can totally miss it. I really wish they'd fix that. Anyway, to be fair, I used to always check several countries fairly often for reviews, at least places where I might have an audience according to download stats, but somehow for this one, yeah, I don't know what happened. I just didn't see it till recently, which really makes me feel so bad. But oh well, I am so sorry. Anyway, that iTunes review is from UK user James, or screen name JimMoores444. And he said, quote, and I'm not going to badly attempt an English accent while reading this, by the way, so don't worry, you don't need to be afraid. Anyway, he said, "Hi, Nicole. Just a line to say how much I'm enjoying your podcast. I've just caught up after binging your older episodes. I thought they were smashing. I adore the honeyed tones of your voice. I've just finished your latest pod, so I'm off to watch Dragonfire, as I've not seen it since it aired originally in the 80s. I'll look forward to hearing your take on it. Thanks again. All the best. James, Cheshire, UK." So yeah, not sure if you're still listening 2 years later, James, but if you are, thank you so, so, so much. Your review very much delighted me and totally made my day. And wow, I'm seriously not used to thinking of my voice as ever having honeyed tones. But then I suppose, like many people, I sort of hate the sound of my own voice. But I am extremely flattered that someone out there does enjoy it, and of course, more importantly, has also enjoyed the content on my show. That reminds me that I need to get back to reviewing Dragonfire sometime. I'm pretty sure I even still have all my notes from back then somewhere in my files. That was all just around one of my unfortunate podcast hiatuses, but hopefully one day it'll surface as a proper episode. So yeah, I hope you at least enjoyed rewatching the Dragonfire serial, James. And again, so sorry for the late reply to your review. Oof, so embarrassing. Anyway, and then on to the Tumblr review, which weirdly I didn't get a notification for and just found recently when cleaning out my inbox. Anyway, that review was by Tumblr user Prof Doctor, as mentioned a moment ago. And they said about my episode on Smith and Jones, quote, "The Void answers back. Listen to episode 20 of your podcast. It was great. Spot on the most shippiest episode I've ever witnessed. Ten and Martha are one of my top OTPs. Even though the inconsistency of how Ten was written really hurts my shipping heart sometimes. Like, I wanted Ten to regenerate into someone better at so many points in season 3. Anyway, Martha's just the greatest for all the reasons you listed and deserves so much better. Hashtag blue suit fave suit." So yay for some mutual Ten and Martha and blue suit love. I mean, anyone who knows me knows Ten and Martha are one of my top OTPs in the Doctor Who universe as well, as problematic as they are on the show. So it's always super happy-making to hear from other people who feel the same. Oh, and if you're wondering what an OTP is by any chance, it basically means one true pairing and is kind of basically shorthand for your favorite ship or relationship in a fictional medium. So yeah, basically that means I really love the idea of the 10th Doctor and Martha together, non-platonically. And if you don't believe me, I've written about, 50 fanfics about them together to prove it. Yeah. Even though the show sort of took a big dump on that relationship on screen, so yeah. Anyway, that line of thinking will likely make me rant, and this is happy fandom time, not ranty fandom time. Though that would be funny for a future episode. But anyway, again, thanks to you, James and Cheshire on iTunes, and Professor Doctor on Tumblr, for leaving such awesome feedback for me. I kind of admittedly feel a bit like the 11th Doctor in the 11th Hour when he sheepishly accidentally gets back to Amy way late every time before they finally travel together. But hopefully you'll both forgive me. Pretty please? Anyway, so yeah, just a few little joyful things this time around. I tried to keep it somewhat short, though I'm not really sure I succeeded. Either way, now it's finally about time to tie my thoughts together about my adventure at the 2018 Atlanta Doctor Who Convention, Wholanta. But first, here's a quick break.
Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
And I'm Tony Heath.
And we have a sneaking suspicion that you don't actually listen to these promos.
So we're not going to make you listen to one. Bye!
Brought to you by the Watchathon of Rassilon, a podcast where Joe and Tony watch all of Doctor Who and then talk to you about it.
Available on the ESO Network or wherever else you get podcasts from.
But honestly, where else would you go?
WatchYourRassilon.com?
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Hello, this is Sylvester McCoy. You're listening to the Terminus Podcast.
It's crowded here.
Alright, now to go back in time for the weekend of May the 4th for Wholanta in, well, Atlanta. Okay, as you might see from looking around, you may have noticed that we've actually arrived one day early, on May the 3rd. But never fear, this isn't actually a TARDIS malfunction this time. No, this is because, for me, the convention weekend actually started a day early, with me attending the semi-affiliated theatrical premiere of the recent David Tennant film Bad Samaritan, hosted by Legion M and Wholanta. And so I wanted to touch on that first, if you'll indulge me. Otherwise, totally feel free to skip ahead according to the timestamps in the show notes. I promise, I won't be offended.
Production note. Don't worry, this is a spoiler-free review. You can proceed safely.
Anyway, on to the Bad Samaritan premiere. Now, first off, to be honest, I wasn't entirely sure I was going to go to the event in the first place. As I said, it took place the night before the con properly started, and so I was pretty busy doing some last-minute packing and doing things like finalizing my costume and whatever, you know, just getting ready for the weekend. Plus, let's be real, as I said earlier, I am a massive introvert, so I really needed some restful mental prep time before just tossing myself into the sea of people that weekend, which would usually mean me maybe having a very quiet night for a night or two before. But I was actually really enjoying the event-related communications I was receiving from Legion M, which is fan-owned and totally awesome, by the way. And, really, it's David Tennant on the big screen, and despite whatever complicated feelings I have around the 10th Doctor, David Tennant as an actor is actually my favorite actor. So, of course, I had to see it. So yeah, I hopped over to the event that night, and the turnout was a bit small, but I think that other people were possibly also very busy prepping for the convention, or who knows, just caught in or didn't want to deal with Atlanta's notoriously terrible traffic. Anyway, I went there by myself, well, aside from dragging my teddy bear Jackie along, and yes, I have a teddy bear still. He's my ride or die, and, you know, really, I just wanted some comfort in case the movie got, like, too scary, or if the socializing did, as social anxiety is my middle name. Plus, I'm not usually a big horror fan on the whole. I mean, I'm a huge fan of stuff like classic Hammer horror, don't get me wrong, but a lot of the modern stuff just isn't really my thing, and it's kind of a bit too frightening for me, so, yeah, I kind of just wanted some support and company. Anyway, while I was there, I was able to get a cool Bad Samaritan promo bag from Legion M, which included a small film poster, two different styles of movie pins, or badges to those of you in the UK, some Legion M stickers, a Bad Samaritan keychain, a Legion M pencil with a horse-shaped eraser topper, which is relevant to the film, a pen that looks like a syringe, which is also relevant to the film, and a fake Legion M black credit card of Tennant's character Kale Erendreich.
Yeah, don't touch it.
By the way, Hulanta also brought a bunch of those promo bags and posters to Con to give away to anyone who wanted them. I think all the bags were taken, but they had a small stack of posters at the end of the con that they were literally just about to throw away until I rescued them. If I ever have the spoons, I might just put them on eBay or something, but I am super cool with just giving them away to anyone who wants them. Just message me at the terminusdwpodcast@gmail.com address, or on Twitter, Facebook, or whichever way is easier for you. Links to those contact points in the show notes, of course. Anyway, message me and I will totally see what I can do. Oh, and as an aside, this isn't really Doctor Who related per se, but I also got to chat a bit with the chief operating officer of Legion M while there. Her name was Terry Luberoff, and she was super sweet. I didn't really know anything about Legion M going in, but they really impressed me. As a really quick rundown, Legion M is the world's first fan-owned entertainment company that allows fans to invest in and be part of the creation of new movies, television shows, virtual reality, and other pieces of entertainment. This is basically their PR blurb, but that sums it up. But yeah, they're really fan-oriented and kind of grassroots, and you can become affiliated with them to promote their films and such. And that really just appeals, especially to the younger me, who was really into band promotions and making press kits and such. So I might look into volunteering with them at some point, with all that extra time that I have, of course. Still, at the moment, I think they're mostly focused on Mandy, a Nicolas Cage film, but I honestly kind of hate Nick Cage as an actor, so I might wait a bit. But yeah, they were really, really cool, so I thought I'd mention a bit about them here. Actually, all the people involved in the movie seemed to be really kind and very fan-friendly. It all had this very family sort of feeling about it. Well, at least a family that was really into supporting each other, that is. Anyway, yeah, even Dean Devlin, who was the director of the film, and the film's writer, Brendan Boyce, both retweeted and replied to my own tweet, where I took a selfie of myself with my teddy bear, and they were both just wonderful. I mean, that sort of thing is small, but it actually really goes a long way with me. As for the film itself, I won't really go into much about it here, since this is a Doctor Who podcast and it's not really on topic, but in short, I did mostly like it. As I said, it's not usually a genre that I seek out for my viewing entertainment, but I thought that Tennant in particular was very chilling in his role. He does play baddies really well. Oh, and his American accent seems to have improved since Grace Point, for anyone wondering. At least in my opinion. The plot itself is admittedly a bit hit or miss, and I think perhaps could have used some more editing and maybe filling in of some plot holes, but it was still mostly thrilling to watch, and I was entertained the whole way through, even with all the jump scares shaking me up, which I'll warn you, there's quite a few of them. Oh, and also, for other nerdiness, the movie also stars Robert Sheehan, who is in Misfits, one of my all-time favorite shows, and Carrie Condon, who's probably known mostly to fellow geeks as the voice of Tony Stark-created AI Friday in the various Marvel films. So yeah, excellent cast. If you want to check it out yourself, it came out on DVD in the US in August, but I'm not sure if it's out yet in other places. I was having trouble finding information about that. I think it might be coming out any day now, in October in the UK, but you'd have to verify that on Amazon or somewhere else. Otherwise, I think a few streaming sites such as Amazon and maybe even Netflix have it available to watch. Anyway, finally, on to the convention itself. Anyway, most of what I was able to salvage of my original notes was just highlights, so this isn't going to be like a day-by-day thing or whatever, so just bear with me if I jump around a bit. So first off, one especially happy thing for me was that I was able to meet a few fellow podcasters, particularly ones I've mentioned here on my own show from when I've been a guest on their shows in the past. Now, unfortunately, there was no official podcaster meetup this time, though I had really, really wanted to try to organize one, but I'll definitely have to try again for that next year, hopefully when I have more spoons for planning, because I just think that could be so much fun. Anyway, as for the people I met, first there was the lovely gentleman of the Discussing Who podcast, who I mentioned earlier in my happy fandom time. It was so great to finally meet Kyle Jones, Clarence Brown, and Lee Shackelford in the flesh, and we really had a great laugh together, especially when they told me that before they met me, they found a girl that they thought was me and were talking to her thinking that they'd met me before realizing they were mistaken, which I just thought was super funny. In their defense, though, I saw that girl later on a panel. I think her name was Bethany. Anyway, we do actually look pretty similar, especially with our mutual punky, undercut, brightly colored hair. I meant to actually go up to her at one point and say something like, "Hey, it seems I have a twin, maybe we should be friends," but I'm far too shy for that. Yeah. Still, as I said, the guys were super fun to hang out with, though unfortunately I didn't get to spend as much time hanging out with them as I thought I would, as I was sort of running around all weekend, but maybe next time. Oh, and here's a little clip of them talking about meeting me on their Wholanta episode, mostly for my own memories, but still fun to share.
And that includes the awesome Nicole Maza, who we finally met in person, and I guess we thought we were going to pal around with her all day, but she's been too busy because she's been on it. I think she's on every panel.
Yes.
Even those that occur simultaneously. Yeah,
I think her new name is, forget Terminus, we're going to call her Nicole Panel Person Maza. Yeah. Who also does Terminus and appears sometimes on Discussing Who, but she is the panelist.
The panelist.
Yes.
The BBC show.
Right. Starring Nicole.
The panelist! Yeah, that could be my Time Lord name. Nah, it wasn't really that bad, but I was really busy. I'll go into more about the panels I was actually on, though, in a few minutes. But first, again, speaking of in-the-flesh meetups, I also ran into Drew Meyer from the Who & Company podcast, where I guested before talking about both Doctor Who and another show that I love called In the Flesh. Hence the very horrible joke in my transition there. Anyway, Drew was super sweet to meet in person, and I was so happy to be able to chat with him and his friend Valerie, who was also very nice and even offered me a concoction of what she deemed as vegetarian haggis, which actually looked really tasty, I'm not gonna lie, but I was still so full from lunch that I passed on it because I simply could not fit any more food in my belly, no matter how appetizing it looked. Perhaps some other time, though. I mean, even before that offer, I've actually been weirdly determined to try haggis in some form at some point. Hashtag food bucket list. Don't judge me. Oh, and funnily enough, as an aside, since that meeting, I now know Valerie as Valerie Meese, an amazing puppet creator who has, in particular, created a gorgeous 12th Doctor puppet that she's even shared with Capaldi himself a few times, which, by the way, speaking of which, video of Capaldi playing with that very puppet at Dragon Con recently was an awesome viral video that I'll have to remember to share in my show notes, because it's totally, totally made him win. Oh my god. But anyway, yeah, Drew was really great in the short time I was able to chat with him, and even later on had some very nice things to say to his podcast co-host Brent, who sadly wasn't there himself. But anyway, yeah, he had some lovely things to say about meeting me and about the cosplay I was in their podcast about Hulanta that I'll drop in as a little clip here. Again, mostly for my own memory, but also again fun to share as well. Oh, and for reference, I think it starts with Drew saying how Valerie was being so friendly to everyone that she was offering the aforementioned haggis to just about everyone that passed by the table they were sitting at, including myself. Anyway, here's that little clip.
Being the incredibly friendly person that she is, she offered it to everyone who walked past the table, including Nicole Mazza, who came by in a awesome unit tank girl mashup costume.
Yeah, that I saw that picture. That was pretty
really
cool.
Really brilliant. It was really cool. And I know she wore it for Rachel, and Rachel canceled. She's like, you know, I'm going to wear it anyway. It was really cool. And it was really good to see her in person too. You know, it's so nice to have these guests that we talk to over Skype, to hang out with them in person. So that's always really cool.
Thanks so much, guys. If you're listening to this, that is. I know Brent often does. Anyway, yeah, I am so glad that you liked the costume I was in. I was so nervous about it. But yes, as you heard Drew mention, my cosplay that day was a unit tank girl mashup costume. I really wanted to do something in honor of Rachel Talalay being a guest, so I thought, why not mash up Doctor Who with one of my favorite films, Tank Girl? Which, of course, was directed by Rachel Talalay, if you didn't know. Plus, because of who I am as a person, I rarely ever seem to be one to wear a straightforward Doctor Who cosplay. Well, aside from when I'm a Red Kang, of course, because, well, I mean, they're the best.
At least tell us who you are.
We're the Kangs!
Red Kangs! Red Kangs are best! Who's best?
Red Kangs! Red Kangs! Red Kangs are best!
So who's best?
The Red Kangs, I gather.
But no, most of my costumes have usually been more offbeat things, like my off-duty punk rock unit soldier cosplay, which, actually, the remnants of actually got a bit pilfered from my unit tank girl cosplay. Or even my Roller Girl of Razzalon cosplay, where I was dressed as a Gallifreyan roller derby skater. Yeah, that one got me a lot of odd looks back then. But yeah, I'd seen a few awesome cosplays of Tank Girl over the years, and even some crossover mashup ones as well. Like, Harley Quinn Tank Girl mashups seem to be a thing these days, at least from what I can tell. So anyway, I thought, why not merge the Tank Girl style with a punked out version of the military aesthetic of UNIT, instead of, say, the usual army clothes that she wears or whatever. Sadly, as I'm pretty sure you heard Drew say in the clip, Rachel had to cancel at the last minute, I believe due to a work conflict. But despite that, I thought about it and came to the conclusion that I just put so much love into building the costume that I just wanted to wear it nonetheless, even if she wasn't there. And I'm glad I did. I actually think it came out pretty nicely. I have a few pictures of it that I'll post in my show notes, though sadly I don't have very many, as I'm pretty camera shy. But to paint a picture here, though, for anyone interested, and you can probably skip ahead if you need to. I'll probably timestamp this bit. Anyway, from the top down, I had on a green army helmet that had things like Chumblies Don't Surf and text on it, instead of Tank Girl's usual Charlie Don't Surf, of course. I really wanted a fun old school reference that began with the letter C, and really, who doesn't love the Chumblies? The helmet also had some bullseye stickers and band-aids stuck to it, plus a metal Ace of Spades card-shaped bottle holder that I had tucked into the motorcycle-style goggles that I was wearing around the rim. After that, I had a shirt that had originally been just a plain black shirt with a Classic Series unit logo on it in white that I totally distressed. And I had so much fun with that bit, actually, using things like bleach on it and cutting holes in it, and stretching it, and scratching it up with scissors and putting safety pins on it. Yeah, I'll try to remember to put the shirt distressing tutorial that I followed in my show notes, because again, it was so much fun and I totally have to do it again to some sort of shirt. Anyway, and over that, I had a dinky plastic bandolier of bullets I found on eBay across my chest that seriously broke within the first 10 minutes or so of wearing it, so that went in the garbage. Let's see, I also had two necklaces, one that was a grenade pendant and one that was a Dalek pendant. Then on the bottom, I just had some army green shorts with some fishnets and Dalek socks and black boots. Oh, and around my waist, I had a grommet belt where I hung several Doctor Who themed keychains, which totally made me jingle when I walked, much to my horror and amusement. Anyway, the keychains were a Dalek one, a TARDIS one, a little grenade one. Oh, and a big one that was a stuffed adipose. Now, the adipose keychain was originally going to be attached on the end of my gun, kind of like Tank Girl has a stuffed rabbit on the end of her gun in some of the comics, but it didn't work out, so I just hooked it to my belt, and that ended up being fine. Oh, and I had this space ray gun sort of thing for my gun in a holster on my belt, but I'd honestly attached it so well so it wouldn't fall off while I was walking around that it was actually really hard to unholster, so it just hung in my belt the whole time. The only other thing was that I bought a small military backpack that I used to carry my con stuff around in, actually all weekend. I decorated it with a unit patch that was safety pinned on for like a fun punky effect. It had a Doctor Who pin in the style of a Bullseye logo, like for the band The Who and, you know, mod fashion, which was perfect for the Bullseye logos that Tank Girl often decorates herself with. Also, I had an Anarchy pin, a yellow pin that had the classic unit logo. As you can tell, I totally prefer that one to the new series one. Oh, and some safety pins here and there. Oh, and finally, dangling from the bottom, my two little con buddies for when I needed company, or assurance that I wasn't going to pass out from nerves on the panels, my two little Funko Pop keychains of the 12th Doctor and 11th Doctor. Now, of course, I would have totally had a 7th Doctor one as well, as he's my favorite Doctor, but sadly, it doesn't seem to exist. Oh, all the cries. Anyway, I think that was it. All in all, it was a fun costume to wear, and several people seemed to like it, so that was nice. I've kept all the bits together in a box, so I think I might wear it again sometime, actually. Hopefully someday in front of Rachel Talalay. Oh, and one other quick aside before I get off the cosplay topic. I was trying to think of how to pack up the cosplay to get it to Hulanta in one piece, especially with all the bits and bobs on my helmet that I didn't want to get smashed or detached or whatever. And then it hit me. Use my old roller derby gear bag. And honestly, that worked out so perfectly, especially as it has things like a little cubby for your derby helmet. So I kind of just wrapped my cosplay army helmet up in a shirt for some extra cushioning and put it in the cubby and voila! Yeah, that was so happy making. I love little serendipitous things like that. So yeah, hopefully some of you are still listening after that ramble. I wasn't originally going to talk about the costume in detail, but I do know that some people out there are actually interested in how people build their costumes, so I made a list just in case. Oh, and that was the only cosplay I did that weekend, actually. I had toyed with doing more, but I just didn't have enough time or energy when it all came down. So, other than that, on Friday night, I just wore the Red Terminus podcast shirt that I've made. And on Sunday, I wore a shirt that had art of Jodie's Doctor drawn like Rosie the Riveter, that underneath it said, "She can do it," which I totally love. Anyway, on to the rest of con. First, most important to me, I guess, was that I was on my very first Doctor Who panel. Now, I've been on a few panels here and there before for other things in the past, such as Broadchurch or Victoria, but the Doctor Who ones generally didn't seem to have anybody on them that wasn't on there every single year, so I just assumed that I just would never be on one. But this year, they changed things and actually opened them up to new volunteers, so I totally jumped on two of them. The first one was one called Imagining a Female Doctor, mostly because I wanted to make sure there were feminine voices on that one. And one that was a retrospective on the Stephen Moffat era, which I wanted to be on since I know so many people very vocally hate his era, and I kind of wanted to counter that with some love, since it's one of my all-time favorite eras of Doctor Who. Yep, I said it. Anyway, outside of Doctor Who, I also did a panel on the 20th anniversary of the film Velvet Goldmine, which made me feel a tiny bit old as I'd seen it when it came out in the movie theater as an adult, whereas my two panel mates were young children when it came out. Still, even though I have kind of a complicated relationship with the film, overall I really love it, and it was fun to kind of bring my music geek side to talking about that era of music, as glam rock is actually really in my musical wheelhouse. I also did the Broadchurch panel from this year, as I've been doing that for the last 3 years running, and it was going to be the final one now that the show has ended. It did actually have a slight Doctor Who bent this time around, though, with it being called Broadchurch, Home of Past and Future Doctors. So we had fun not only talking about plot stuff, but the plethora of actors from the show that have been on either Doctor Who or Torchwood, especially as the title of the panel suggests, three actors that have played the Doctor. Oh, and one very special thing about that panel was that one of my co-panelists was my friend and listener, I think. Anyway, my friend, Robert McIntyre, who legit came all the way from the UK, Yorkshire to be precise, to Atlanta with his lovely wife for the con. Wow. And it was so great to meet him in person finally. And both he and his wife Helen, they were just so freaking lovely. Anyway, back to the Doctor Who related con stuff. The first panel I did was on Friday night, the Imagining a Female Doctor one. And again, it was my first Doctor Who panel, so I was incredibly terrified. I mean, I was even shaking a bit, but thankfully, my co-panelists, Catherine Sullivan, Jennifer Hartshorn, and Mike Faber, are all good friends of mine, so they calmed me down and they kept me from wanting to have an actual panic attack. And yeah, I think that the panel went really well, actually. And even at the end, Mike announced that it was my first Doctor Who panel and invited the audience to applaud me for it, so that was kind of sweet, if a bit embarrassing. Other than that, it was mostly a blur, but I was thankfully able to hear a recording of it later on, and it didn't sound too cringy. Yeah, my co-panelist Mike recorded it for the ESO Network's Patreon, so if you happen to be a member of that, you can get it for like the $5 plus tier, I think. Honestly, I'm not even entirely sure how Patreon works yet, but I'll put a link to the recording for anyone interested. Now, the money doesn't really go directly to me or anything, but to the ESO Network instead, but since my podcast is technically a part of the network, I guess it kind of does go to me too. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it if you do check it out. As for the Stephen Moffat retrospective panel, I found that it was a lot less volatile than I was expecting. Now, because I'm not always great at making the best emotional decisions for myself, I often find myself wandering a bit around on Tumblr, and honestly on there, it's often a massive echo chamber of Moffat hate and vitriol. And while that's not the case with everyone, of course, a lot of the haters seem to be the loudest, and it can really be a bit, I don't know, alienating, at least to someone who actually loves and values his work instead. It's honestly really about up there with being a huge David Tennant fan who loves David Tennant as an actor, again, he's my favorite, but isn't so keen on the writing for his Doctor, and definitely does not ever, ever in a million years ship the 10th Doctor, or any Doctor, or Doctor clone, with Rose. Yeah, it kind of makes you a bit of an outcast, in a way, but oh well. I'll just be over here in my little corner loving Stephen Moffat and loving David Tennant when he's not 10 and mostly hating on the RTD era of Doctor Who. Doo-dee-doo. But anyway, I channeled all of my Moffat love into the retrospective panel, and it was actually kind of nice being someone that was on his side. And yes, don't get me wrong, I don't think he's perfect by any means, and I tried to balance my praise with criticisms. But overall, I did my best to state my case for what it was about his era that resonated with me so much. Maybe I need to do a podcast episode about that sometime, especially now that we're actually past his era. Yeah, I should write that down on my list of episode ideas. Anyway, yeah, the panel mostly went positively, and I even turned someone around a bit about Moffat's characterizations of companions when I said, in response to the person being annoyed that Moffat's characters weren't, quote, just ordinary people like RTD's companions, I pointed out that actually those Moffat arcs weren't really that different than things like Bad Wolf with Rose or Dr. Donna with Donna, just that the perspective was kind of switched. In other words, Amy and Clara's arcs go kind of backwards to Rose, Martha, and Donna's arcs in a way, Where RTD's companions start out as ordinary and end up extraordinary, Moffat's companions start out as extraordinary, but by the end, the Doctor and the audience realizes they were just ordinary all along. And yes, that's pretty reductive to state it like that, as there's much more nuance to it, but it's basically true, at least in my interpretation. So yeah, the characters are all just as ordinary and extraordinary as one another, just at different points in their arcs to one another. If that makes any sense. I don't know. Anyway, she thanked me for pointing that out, and she said it gave her a new perspective that made her feel better about things, so yay! Anyway, not sure that the Moffat panel was recorded at all, as Mike from ESO wasn't on that one, so I can't share any links to that one, but again, I definitely enjoyed it, and it was nice to chat about the things that we loved and disliked and even hated about the Moffat era with the panelists and the audience in a very civil way. Because, of course, no one is ultimately wrong or right in their opinions, because it's all subjective about what affects you or not. Just like whether you prefer chocolate or vanilla or whatever. Different people have different tastes, and that's what makes us all so interesting. If we all thought the exact same way about everything, life would be pretty boring, in my opinion. I think people forget that sometimes, and it's pretty sad. But yeah, it goes without saying, it was obviously much better than most discourse on Tumblr. Oh my god. Let's see, what else? Oh god, how could I forget? Louise Jameson, who of course played the Fourth Doctor companion Leela, was there at Con as a guest, and that was, of course, super, super awesome. I mean, if you listened to my podcast in the past, or at least my episode where I reviewed Leela's debut story, Face of Evil, you might remember that Leela was actually my very first companion from back when I discovered the show at 13 years old. And yeah, I mean, yes, it was 1986, and so it was technically Colin Baker's era at the time, not Tom's, but my local PBS station was replaying old Fourth Doctor stories at that point for whatever reason, and in particular, they were playing season 14 that had Leela's debut. Anyway, because of that, and because she was such a great character, she's definitely one of my all-time favorite companions, and super close to my heart. And so yeah, having the opportunity to meet Louise for the first time was totally a dream come true. Now sadly, money was tight at the time, so I could only afford an autograph and not say also a picture with her or a VIP pass or whatever, but you know, that was enough. It was honestly just so freaking lovely just meeting her and chatting with her for that short moment when I got an autograph. I mean, I honestly have no idea what I actually said to her, as I think I just blathered on nervously about how Leela was my first companion and how she was such a huge hero to me, blah, blah, blah. But I do remember that Louise was super kind back to me, and yeah, just so freaking amazing. Oh, and of course, I picked the Robots of Death print that she had available to sign, as Robots of Death is totally my favorite Fourth Doctor serial.
Kill the Doctor. Kill, 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 kill.
So yeah, even months later, I'm still giddy about all that. Definitely a real moment for me. Let's see, what else? Oh god, I've really been going on today. Oh dear. Anyway, the good news is that it looks like I'm about toward the end of my notes, where I just made a list of things that I bought or acquired at the con, and I'll try to run through that quickly. And to be honest, it shouldn't really be that hard, as I really wanted to get more stuff, but as I said before, I was sadly pretty broke this year. But despite money being tight, one thing that has been sort of a tradition of mine since attending Wholanta, or at least as it used to be called, Timegate, for the last, I don't know, decade or so, is related to how pretty much always they have comic artist Kelly Yates as a guest. Now, in my opinion, he's very talented, and I generally really love his Doctor Who work, but he's also a total sweetheart, and I just love chatting with him every time I see him. Anyway, as a part of all that, getting at least one print from him every year has become a small tradition for me, and so this year, I bought his print of the 12th Doctor wearing the 6th Doctor's clothes, which, I don't know, it just amused me. As well as the Doctor Who comic from Free Comic Book Day, which was also that weekend, that had its cover drawn by Kelly. Oh, and he also threw in some cute kawaii cards. That was a tautology. Anyway, he also threw in some kawaii cards that he had left over from Comic-Con as well, as he's the designer of the Titan Kawaii Doctor Who figures you can find in places like Hot Topic or whatever. Anyway, I'll be sure to put links to pictures of all the stuff I got in my show notes if anyone is interested. Otherwise, the only thing I got aside from Kelly's stuff and my Louise autograph was the anthology book Children of Time, Companions of Doctor Who, which was actually released that weekend. Now that in particular had me super excited, as it was not only authored by my friend Alan, one of the people who created and runs Wholanta, but it was also edited by Drew Meyer, who I mentioned before from the Who and Company podcast. And it has quite a few essays and art in it from several of my Doctor Who friends and acquaintances, such as the lovely Catherine Sullivan, Stephanie Lane Jackson, the aforementioned Kelly Yates, Rachel Stewart, and on and on. Anyway, each essay or piece of art is devoted to a companion, and while I think there are a few companions that didn't make it into the book, I still need to finish reading it to make sure. Anyway, despite that, there were a lot of them that were included, even some of the more obscure ones. Maybe if they do a sequel, I'll pitch writing one for my beloved Izzy Sinclair from the 90s Doctor Who magazine comics with the Eighth Doctor. Or not. I've always been more of a fiction writer than a non-fiction one, so I don't know if I'd be up for that. But, you know, if they need me, I might be able to do it. Anyway, the book is awesome, and I highly recommend it, especially if you want to read great essays about all the different companions and see some really stellar artwork. I'll definitely be sure to drop a link to buy it in my show notes. Oh, and I can't forget one final acquisition, which was a lovely surprise that I got for free as a gift, was from Rachel Stewart that I just mentioned. We were on the Velvet Goldmine panel together, and afterwards she said to me something like, "I've got a gift for you in my hotel room. Are you going to be around for a while?" And I replied, "Yeah, sure was," especially as I was just meeting the Discussing Who guys at the time, who were there for Clarence being on the Black Mirror panel that was starting up. Anyway, so Rachel left and came back soon after, brandishing a Target novelization of Terminus. She said something like she saw it at a thrift store and totally thought of me. It was so sweet and such a lovely gift. I mean, yes, I did already have a copy at home, but this one is actually in even better condition, which is a happy bonus. So yeah, when I got home, I proudly put it on the bookshelf with all the other Target novels I have, and it was all just very happy-making. Thanks again, Rachel, if you're listening. And I think that's it as far as the Wholanta acquisitions. Well, aside from the stack of Bad Samaritan promo posters I mentioned earlier, I mean, again, hit me up if you want one. I am not kidding. Depending on postage costs or whatever, I'll likely just give you one. Or two or more. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows?
Anyway, I think that's finally all I've got to say about Wholanta this year. Overall, on one hand, I had a really wonderful time. I was pushed out of my comfort zone a bit to do those panels, and I was happy to see old friends and even make some new ones. But despite all that, it was also a bit bittersweet, as during the closing ceremonies, they announced that next year's Wholanta might actually be the last one, or at least the last one with the current staff that runs it. And it's definitely sad to think that I'm likely going to have a bit of a Doctor Who con-shaped hole in my heart after that. And while Con Casterbarus in Huntsville is also very lovely, it's kind of a little harder to get to as it's several hours away instead of in town. But even they've announced that they're going a bit smaller and not going to have as many bigger guests, and that they're focusing away from being just a Doctor Who convention, which is definitely sad for me as that's pretty much my only big fandom. But I definitely do understand the financial decision of wanting to open up the range of their guest pool. So yeah, I guess that all means that maybe I need to start going to Dragon Con in Atlanta again, despite it being super overwhelming. I mean, seriously, they had so many amazing Doctor Who guests this year, including Mr. Capaldi. So I have to decide if the extreme chaos and huge crowds are actually worth it for me. Or maybe I really need to somehow make a trip to Chicago TARDIS or Galley happen. But honestly, that's all kind of scary for me, especially those out-of-town conventions that I've never been to, as I kind of just don't want to be all alone when I get there, especially for my first time, you know? At least in Atlanta, it's mostly in my comfort zone, is a pretty small convention, and hell, even my wife usually comes along with me. even if she skips the panels and either just hangs out in the hotel room or maybe the gaming room. Oh well, we'll just have to see what happens in the long run. Hopefully another Doctor Who convention will take Hulanda's place in my heart, but it's definitely going to be hard to fill that hole, as the con has been so beloved to me for so many years. Truly the end of an era. Well, almost. So anyway, a very big thank you to everyone who's listened today. As I've said before, I'm still getting the ship turned around, but I'm currently looking forward to reviewing Series 11 and getting both that and other content out to you in the coming months. As always, feel free to leave comments at either my Libsyn blog, the Terminus email address, the Terminus Facebook pages, Terminus Twitter. You can always find all those links in the show notes, by the way, and I will do my best not to take 2 years to answer you. Anyway, as you can tell from my happy fandom time, I really appreciate your engagement with me, especially when it comes to your comments and even constructive criticism. I mean, I really want you guys to enjoy this podcast too, so hearing feedback certainly can help with that. Or, if you'd like to support the podcast, please rate and review it over at iTunes, as that really helps others find this podcast much more easily. Or, perhaps even spread the word around to your friends about it. Sharing is caring, as they say. Oh, and another brand new way to support the podcast is that I recently set up a Ko-fi or coffee.com account as basically a tip jar to help with paying the hosting fees for the show, or to even help me save up for items that might enhance this podcast. If you're not familiar with Ko-fi, it's basically a way to thank creators for their content or to support them. The name is basically from the idea of just sending some money to the creator that you like to buy themselves a cup of coffee or whatever. Or they can just use it to save up for stuff related to the podcast. I think my first goal is saving up for a Blue Yeti microphone because it has a mute button, unlike the Snowball that I use now, which I love, but I've definitely found that mute button to be something that I've needed when I'm guesting on other podcasts. And guessing on other shows helps me get the word out about my own, so it all works out. I think I'm also wanting to eventually save up for a nice portable digital recorder, perhaps something like a Tascam DR05, I'm not sure. But just something that I can bring to conventions with me to potentially interview guests and maybe get more fun bumpers like all the ones I got from Andrew Cartmell, or maybe record the panels that I'm on. I mean, I just love to help this podcast grow in any way that I can, and any help from you guys with that is very welcome. Though obviously not an obligation, of course. Oh, and you might be wondering why I'm not setting up a Patreon like many other podcasters and web creators are doing these days. But honestly, I just don't feel quite ready for Patreon yet. Whether it be like navigating what that means for my taxes, or honestly just being able to provide extra content to make being a patron worthwhile. I mean, I hope when I get the show back on track, I can hopefully get to that point in the future, but as of right now, just a tip jar sort of thing is just my speed. Oh, and of course it goes without saying that I'll definitely give anyone who donates anything a shout out here on the podcast, of course, even if it's just a dollar or two. That is, unless you don't want me to, I mean, whatever makes you comfortable. Yeah, I'll probably chat more about that sort of thing in upcoming episodes, because yeah, I need to work out some of that stuff, like my great need for a proper logo, so that, you know, maybe I can actually finally make some merch or something for all of those of you that have asked about it. But again, I'll talk more about that soon. Anyway, I think it's definitely time to wrap this up, so I hope that you all have a great one, and I'll chat with you all next time.
The Terminus Podcast is available on iTunes, Stitcher, and many other favorite podcatchers. Be sure to check us out there and subscribe to keep up with new episodes. Alonzi.
Thank you for listening to the Terminus Podcast. You can find us online at terminus.libsyn.com or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/terminusdwpodcast or on Twitter at terminuscast or on Tumblr at terminusdwpodcast.tumblr.com. Or you can email us at terminusdwpodcast@gmail.com. Also a great big thanks to violinist Makoff for use of the Dear Violin Doctor Who theme. More song information is in the show notes.
Airlock decompression completed. Jettisoning pod.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.